Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
M.H. Scott, and folks, you know, I've really and truly stayed away from this conversation. And I say that because it's just something about this conversation that just doesn't sit right with me. You know, many of you may be major supporters of this topic. But for whatever reason, I'm not just that guy. And I'm going to share with you this afternoon my thoughts on why this topic is not a favorable thought for me. So, with that being said, if you want to join in and share your thoughts, your ideals, your comments, your concerns, your moans, groans, gripes, or complaints, please do. All conversation is welcome. You can join us at 516-453-9932. I'll hit you with that one more time. 516-453-9932. Yes, that will open up the door for you to join our conversation. And once you get in here, hey, have something intelligent to say, as you always do, because I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to bring it, and I'm going to share my thoughts with you on what are we talking about today. And that conversation being simply the transfer portal. But as always, you know, I don't do my show and do my thing on my show without first bringing in my man, Mr. Keith Wright, with the college experience. This little piece Keith put together for me, man, way back in the day. So this piece got to be at least 12, 13 years old because we started the Parents Go to Parents Network blog talk radio show in 2010. So, with that being said, where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Keith said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's how he do. Making smart cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't mad at him about that. That's one thing that we all need to consider. Put that in your thinking cap. Put that in your moment. and see what happens from there. Because if you make it smart, cool, you got something going for yourself. You truly have something going for yourself. And with that being said, let's dig into this topic today. We're talking about the transfer portal. But even more importantly, you know, I always say this about the transfer portal. One thing that always pops into my mind when I'm thinking about the transfer portal is, you know, I said once upon a time, why is it that coaches were able to move about as they see fit with no problem whatsoever? Why is it that, you know, folks can jump up there and decide, hey, I don't want to be a part of this game no more. I found me another job somewhere else, and I decide to break camp. But, you know, always had that issue. When athletes decided to do it, what happened? Always some kind of pushback. Always some kind of pushback. Not really sure why that pushback was so. But when athletes decided to do it, there was that pushback. But coaches was able to do it, leave one job, move on to another job for a bigger paycheck, and hey, nobody had a problem with it. No one had a problem with it. So with that being said, why couldn't the athletes do it? Why was there always a problem with the athletes doing it? I'm just saying. So if that's the case, then now that the athletes are doing it, let's discuss that. Because I noticed one of the major coaches in the game has now moved on to, as I would simply say, he has now jumped ship. He has now jumped ship. We're talking about Coach Calipari. Calipari was for a long time Warrior. Where? Calipari was for a long time Warrior at Kentucky. And now Calipari is now relocated. I don't know if that was by choice or whether or not that was by force or, excuse me, suggestion. But Calipari has now relocated to Arkansas. Interesting. You know, the last great Warrior that was at Arkansas that I can recall was Nolan Richardson, one of the legends. You know, back in the day where you had Nolan Richardson, you had John Chaney, John Thompson, all those big dogs back in the day. So now we have Calipari. Will Calipari be able to uphold what's been going on in college basketball at the University of Arkansas? Big shoes to fill, Cal. Big shoes to fill. You know, I also had an opportunity to listen to a little short video he did earlier in the week. I guess it was earlier in the week or whenever it was. But this video highlighted some things that really and truly caught my attention. In his video, he talked about social media, how he doesn't own a computer, how he has a tablet, and he may even have an account associated with that tablet but he doesn't own a computer. So when folks are posting things on social media, whether it's on X, Instagram, or whatever, in reference to him, then oftentimes he may be totally oblivious of it. It may not be something that even crosses his mind, because his assistant or whoever he had posting for him may read it, see that, oh, well, no, this isn't something that we want to involve the coach in. So Calipari may not even be made aware of it. But here's another thing that he stated. And I really, really, really said, you know, I wonder how many other folks have heard this or even thought about this and realized that this coach ain't even reading your information. You know, he may post something, and it may be a comment, maybe a statement, maybe whatever. Put something out there. And oftentimes, you know, our children may see it and they want to respond to it. Or we as some overly excited adults may see it and may want to respond to it. So as a result, what happens? We respond. We put our information out there. We say what we have to say in reference to what Coach Calipari had to say. Not realizing, he didn't read that. Your comment is just floating around in la-la land. Your comment is being spoken on by who? By him. What does that mean? That simply means that coach probably haven't even read your comment. But you just said, hey, I let him know what's going on. I told him about this. I told him about that. But in all actuality, Cal probably never read your comment, because he puts information out there, or he puts his thoughts out there, but he doesn't come back. He doesn't come back and reply to them. How interesting is that? How interesting is that? He doesn't even reply to them. So where does that leave you? Well, a couple days ago, 24/7 Sports, or whatever the name of that site is, and I'm sorry I didn't get your correct site, but I just was interested in the information. But they posted an article talking about some of the top 24 athletes, and this article was posted when exactly was it? I want to give you the exact date so that you can go and look it up yourself. No, I'm not capping or anything close to that. The article is College Basketball Transfer Rankings 2024. College Basketball Transfer Rankings 2024. Ranking top 75 players. Ranking the top 75 players. So in other words, the top 75 players is listed, is on this list. You got players coming from FAU. You got players coming from Drake. You got players even coming from South Dakota State.
Wisconsin. Here's an interesting one. A player coming from Duke going to Missouri. A player coming from Arkansas going to Texas. A player coming from Kentucky. No, a player that's stuck in the transfer portal was previously at Kentucky. Iowa to Missouri. Hofstra to Tennessee. Kentucky to Arkansas. Sounds like somebody just followed Calipari. Wisconsin, still in the portal. USC going to UCLA. But I'm looking at some of these big name schools, or was considered big name programs at one point in time, who have these transfers that just jump ship. Arizona going to Illinois. You know, you have a young man that just jumped out of left Yale, jumped into the transfer portal, and no one has picked him up. Now, the date for this article is dated April 18th. So that's basically 3 days ago, folks. 3 days ago. April 18th. And so you have these 75 athletes that's listed. And the site that I'm on is, wow. I thought it was 24 Sports, but actually it's CBS. CBS Sports. And this writer is David Cobb. David Cobb wrote this article. But as I'm looking at this article, he lists these 75 athletes. And in listing these 75 athletes, like I said, from various schools, you know, you got athletes from Michigan going to UConn. You got athletes from Oklahoma State going to UCLA. Athlete that left Wake Forest, which was normally a pretty strong school. Now he's just in the portal. You got athletes that was at Kentucky, just in the portal. Of course, some of these athletes will get picked up. And probably by this time next week, this number may have changed. But here's my concern. Are you leaving for the right reason? What's your reason? Are you leaving because the school that you're trying to go to has an NIL deal and now you can pick up a few dollars? Or the school that you was at, their NIL deal dropped when a few of the key players left. And now you're what? Scrambling, chasing money. Well, if those funds are your motivator, will you sell your soul to the devil? I'm not saying that to be harsh, not saying that to be cruel or anything of that nature. Simply asking the question, will you sell your soul to the devil? Well, what do you mean by that, Parents Coach Parents Network? Simply said, how far will you chase that dollar? And what will you do for that dollar? I have to ask that question, folks, because you know, here recently, the athlete was just suspected. And I believe there's allegations out or may have been found guilty as of this date for getting into the gambling world and altering or attempt to alter a contest. Come on now. What are we doing? If we haven't learned nothing else, young men, look at what's currently going on in the music industry. How many souls, S-O-U-L-S, souls were sold, S-O-L-D, sold to the devil for some fame. Yeah, it was a long run of fame. It was good. It was glamorous. It was everything else. But what's happening now? It's all crumbling before their face, before their eyes. Is all money good money? That's up to you. It's all what you make of it, what you do with it. Here's the next thing. You got some top athletes in the transfer portal right now. Like I said, it was 75. But here's the sad part about it. Out of those 75, somebody tell me what's the percentage of them that's just sitting there right now that haven't actually picked up an institution or an institution hasn't shown any interest in them. Out of that 75, what's the number? Give us a call at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Because you're going to be extremely shocked by how many is still in the portal. Now, again, that number could simply be just as of Friday. Like I said, as fast as they fall in there, as fast as they fall out, or they're able to escape the portal. But we're very interested in seeing how many of them young men are able to hang in there or get picked up by a reputable school. Here's another problem. What does that do for our high school athletes? That's my concern. Right now, a lot of them are in limbo. Out of high school, you had a fairly decent season. You didn't have no earth-shattering season, but you're struggling to get an offer. You're struggling to even say those magical words that I would like to commit to whatever because of the number of athletes. Some of them are your peers. The number of athletes that's stuck in this ugly hole called the transfer portal. Like I said, hey, there's somebody out there that can debate everything that I'm saying right now. 516-453-9932. I know he got some conversation on it. Bring it. Let's talk about some of the, like I said, some of the schools that have these athletes out there. And these are some, like I said, top name recruits. I seen a piece earlier this week that talked about over 13 McDonald All-Americans are in the transfer portal. 13 McDonald All-Americans are in the transfer portal. What the Sam Hill is going on? Because at one point in time, those young men were considered high-level one-and-dones. high level one and done. They go to an institution, they play for a year, the league considers them to be eligible for the draft, and they were out. So why are they now in the transfer portal? Are they chasing NIL money? Or things didn't work out for them at their previous institution? And now what? They feel as though they need to establish themselves. Here's another concern I have. Age range. But I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to pause for the cause because simple fact that I want you to think about that. And on the backside of the Press Culture Press Network here on Blog Talk Radio, join us. Join this conversation. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We're going to step away for a second, but I don't want you to go nowhere because I want you to join this conversation and let us know your thoughts on this transfer portal.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach of Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach of Parents Network.
Don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
God, athletes, scholarship, mentors, help you and elevate. Parents Coaching Parents Network, know the game.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope it's well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
How you doing, Mr. Scott? This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBDA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay.
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA.
Hey, Mike, this is John Belon, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here. So I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake of Qualen. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all's going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about audio. I'd like to just...
Mr. Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45.
Which one do you think is most likely to either blossom into like a first team all conference, maybe even all American type guy, or become a lottery pick after their next stop?
That's a great topic. Let's get the list. Run through the list.
So we got DJ Wagner, Omaha Ballou, Andrei Stojakovic, Bay Fall, Bronny James, Aiden Holloway, Brandon Garrison, Aaron Bradshaw, Dylan Mitchell, Mark Mitchell, Arturo Morris, Keani Wright, and Dylan Mitchell. Oh, I already said Dylan Mitchell, my bad.
Ooh. So you're saying who out of that list would be most likely to be a lottery pick? Or like
they can be, you can approach it from like NBA upside angle. I don't look at any of this list and I'm like, oh yeah, surefire. There's not a ton to choose from for like surefire lottery pick, surefire first round. So I expanded it to like make a first team all conference, maybe even all American if things break right. So you can go either direction.
Okay. I think my two options from that list, even though I somewhat want to talk myself into DJ Wagner, but I just don't see it. I think the two options I would take from that list would be Aiden Holloway and Stojakovic. I think I'm going to lean Aiden Holloway. I think Aiden Holloway in the right system could be like that classic, like do-it-all point guard, like put up like crazy, you know, Marquise Noel type numbers. I think that he has that ability. It just didn't work out for him in his freshman year at Auburn. But like, I do think that he could reach that level one day. Now, I don't think he's going to be like an NBA player or anything like that, but I do think that he could put up some pretty crazy stats and be like an all-conference first-team guy.
I loved Holloway coming out of high school. I was convinced he was going to be a problem at Auburn this past year.
So did I. That kind of hurt me he wasn't.
If he goes to Alabama, I think he has a visit lined up with them. That's a great system that'll highlight his strengths.
I agree. I'm going to steal Carter's answer. I think it's Aiden Holloway. And I don't have much to add other than I think my take from that list is I don't believe in many of those players anymore. Like, I think, like, Mark Mitchell and Dylan Mitchell are essentially the best guys in college on that list, and I don't think either of them really have NBA ceilings. I don't think Aiden Holloway has an NBA ceiling. Maybe DJ Wagner does if he has a really good year. But, like, the Stojakovic kid, I don't think he's going to be a pro, and I don't think he's going to be, like, a first. I don't, like, they're just, these are underwhelming guys because they weren't that good. Not because every school.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, let's help you and elevate. Parents coaching, parents network, know the.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
Folks, we're back. We're back. We're back. You know, and on the back end of that, I was just about to talk about this age gap, but I want to hear your thoughts. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Let me hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. We're talking about this transfer portal issue. What do you have on it? And if possible, why is there even a concern? Well, one thing that I have here is, think about it. You have the average high school student coming out of high school at the age of 17, 18, possibly 19. All right? You got a young man coming out of the transfer portal. Hung out at a school for a couple of years. Somehow somebody waved a magic dime at him or her. And so now they think that, what? I need to come on out because I want to see how are things working over here at this program. So I want to transfer to another institution because they got a sweet NIL deal, and I want a piece of that pie. So now I'm 23, 24, 25, whatever. I get a couple little extra bonus time period because of COVID. So as we slide out of the COVID era, you got some older players that's out there that's been hanging around for a minute. So I'm 24, 25. I'm in the transfer portal. I'm looking at going to the same institution that this young high school player is trying to get into at the age of 17, 18, or 19. Who do you think the coach is going to lean towards? And when the coach leans in my direction, because I play that very same position, I've already have some college experience underneath my belt. I'm coachable. And the coach know that I'm coming there to get me a W. I'm coming there to put my name on the list because I want to get into that rotation of potentially becoming a lottery pick or just simply a pick, period, in the next draft. So now what? The coach knows that he can either go with this young green high school player that's going to take him some time to mold, or he can lean in my direction and decide to do what? Pick me up where I can possibly help him out. And if I'm able to help him out, then what? Money in the bank, baby. Money in the bank. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Hey, we got a call that's on the air here. Let's see if we can bring this caller up. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Parents Coach, the Parents Network. Area code 512. Welcome to the Parents Coach, the Parents Network. Hello there. You have something you want to share in this conversation?
You know, I've been listening to what you were saying about the topics and about the opportunity to go into the portal and how players are then going to the portal after one season because they feel that maybe the team they originally played for didn't fit their needs, or now there's NIL money. There's just various reasons why players go into the portal. But I think it feeds into a frenzy right now because, you know, I'll just use my own child's example. When he played college basketball, he might not have liked it after the first year, but at least he has the resilience to say, I got to tough it out and try to work it out, and I'm just immediately not going to leave a program because of something I didn't like about it. Because I think freshmen go through a period of adjustment when they first enter college, not necessarily a like factor, it's the adjustment factor of getting used to coaches and discipline and understanding what it takes to be a college athlete.
You just brought up a very strong point when you touched on resiliency and being able to understand that you're going to have to make some adjustments. It's not going to be easy gravy for you. You got to make some adjustments.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay, but I realize what I think what happens is by having this opportunity to just transfer out when you hit a bump in the road or something you don't like, it's not really, in my opinion, enforcing the idea that sometimes you have to tough it out and try to get through it. You know, I'm watching the NCAA tournament last year, March Madness, and I think what happened in that tournament is most of the teams that had older players did much better than the teams that had younger players because the younger players need time to develop and understand the game and just get mentally tough to be able to compete at that level and win at that level. So,
and that is so true. Go ahead,
so
I'm sorry.
I guess that's okay. So I guess I really feel like there's some situations where actually athletes should transfer out because it's just not right for them. But for the most part, just to transfer out just because it's a tough year and you just don't think it's the right program for you. I don't know. I, I feel that at least it takes 2 years for you to be able to make a solid decision about where you want to go to college, because the first year you're adjusting, and the second year you have adjusted, now you're actually in the program. So I don't know. I just think there should be some type of limit on how many times you transfer. I'm seeing players transfer 4 times in 4 years. You know,
wow.
And they stay one place 1 year and they transfer. It's like hopping from team to team. You know, I saw a list of the McDonald's All-American players, and all of them had transferred into the transfer portal after 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's the tally of going into it. If I don't like it, I can leave. Well, how about if you
exactly.
don't like you try to tough? Because when you go into a real world of professional world outside of basketball, working into a job or career or something like that, there might be some times you might not necessarily like where you are, but you might have to wait a year or two before you make another move or wait for the next opportunity. So I don't understand. I don't think that it's teaching that type of value to the player.
Exactly. What is that athlete really and truly learning? You know,
right.
Having the ability to jump ship whenever he or she decides that, well, I didn't like it here. So you jump ship. No, you grind it out. You never know how the cards will fall as you move forward. You know, I look at, as you say, you look at your son, I looked at my own son as well. And I realized, you know, when he got to the institution that he decided on, not I decided on, he decided on, not his mom decided on, he decided on, because that wasn't the institution I failed all the time. If I had to pick out of all the institutions that actually was recruiting him, I would have went with a different program. But he decided on the one that he finally finished up with. And that decision was made based on whatever was rolling through his mind. But one thing I did tell him, this is your decision. This is where you decide to go. I will support your move. And I will stay with you, support you all the way through until completion. Don't think about, hey, I don't like it here, let's jump ship. Because things did become a little difficult. And this was before the NIL world and before the COVID era and so on and so forth. So it wasn't those extra incentives. And the transfer portal was very restrictive back then. You may go into the transfer portal and never come out. You know, and you may go or want to transfer, but the institution that you want to go to back in that time period, your current situation may have been able to stop you from even going to that next college. Or
well,
there was
yeah,
some restrictions.
Right, there were restrictions, and also you had to sit out for a year. So a lot of players
yes.
weren't willing to take a risk to sit out for a year. And then you're right, your current college could make a decision that they did not want you to play at that certain college and actually, you know, prevent you from going there. So, yes, you're right. There were limitations on where you went.
And nowadays, it's like the Wild Wild West. The door's wide open. But some of them are going in there and not coming out. You should have a time period of how long you're in there. And then
well,
after
I
that,
personally think
you're on your own. Secondly, here's another thing I think about. I'm coming back to you in a second.
Oh, that's a
now,
very good point, though. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, have a time period that you're in there. Here's the second thing. When you come out, whatever institution that you go to, you have to stay there for 2 years. You have to stay there for 2 years. And if you decide you want to leave Duke and you want to go to FAU, you have to stay at FAU for 2 years. There's no, I leave Duke, I go to FAU, I don't like FAU, so I'm going to jump back in the transfer portal. No. You stay there for 2 years because that forces you to make a sound decision because you're burning up your eligibility.
I think that's like a very good point. I do think there should be a limit on the second transfer because by that time you should be able to make a different decision because you are more mature and you have been in for years, so you know what to expect. So I agree with you on that. I think that's a very good point.
Well, that will cut down on folks transferring. That will cut down on them transferring because at the end of that two-year mark, once they go into the portal and you're only in the portal for 2 years, at the end of that mark, you have to make a sound decision because you know the next institution that you go to, you are there for at least 2 years. Tick tock, the clock is ticking. Your eligibility time is withering away. There's no going there hanging out. Go ahead.
I agree. And also, I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but also I think it's a matter of respect for the coach that's bringing you in. That you should give them an opportunity to, you should stay in their program long enough for them to benefit from you being there and for them to see some benefit of your development over a period of like 2 years.
Well, you know, my personal opinion, and it's my personal opinion, it's not even the opinion of the Parents Coach Parents Network, but my personal opinion, I don't base anything on the coach. Only thing I look at the coach is from a male perspective, a black male perspective, if the coach is there for the right reason. You're not there just to get some wins. You're there to continue to groom and mentor these young men into becoming better men. You know, that's one part of it. The second part of it, you know, like I said, you're not there to all of a sudden blow yourself up because here's the thing. When that coach gets another offer, he'll jump ship and don't think twice about those kids. Only other situation I've seen where a coach decided to say, hey, I got to keep an eye on these young men. I got them started. Is this recent situation with Deion when he left Jackson State and went to Colorado. The number of young men that he brought along with him, you know, that's a rare situation, though. That's a rare situation. Because simple fact that he decided, hey, I started something. I promised these young men something. Now I'm taking them with me for us to grow together, us to move forward in this game together. That young man, Travis Hunter, will probably never leave Deion's side. Probably never will leave Deion's side. Even if he make it to the professional ranks, he's still going to keep himself attached to Deion and probably his two sons forever and a day. I just see that happening. But think about a coach will leave a program and not think twice about it. If a bigger door opens and he has a bigger paycheck, he's not going to say, well, sorry, fellas. You know, a number of y'all, if y'all want to come with me, nah. He going to go. Seen it happen too many times on both the football and basketball side. I seen it happen too many times. So these athletes have to figure out what do they want out of life. And I think if they apply those stipulations that I just mentioned, you're only in the portal for 2 years, and that when you come out, you have to sign a two-year contract saying that, what, you will stay at that institution for 2 years. I think that will slow this thing down, put it in its proper perspective, and everybody moves along happy. You know, I see our kids getting motivated by money. You know, I looked at an article that had 75 athletes listed as being in the portal, top athletes. Out of that 75, 38 of them didn't even have a school that they were going to. 38 out of the 75. That's over 50%. Over 50%. So where is this thing going? Where will this thing finally boil out? You know, give us a call at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We still have a few minutes left here, and I think it's a very interesting conversation. A little clip I played over the break, they talked about a number of those athletes that jumped into the transfer portal that thought they were going to be one and done, and it didn't work out for them. So as a result, now what? You know, just the slightest bit of negative press will kill your opportunities of coming out of the transfer portal. Kill it. Knock it down. Knock it dead. So as a result, what do we have going on next? What do we have going on next? You mentioned something earlier, Carla, and want you to explain a little bit more of that or your perspective of the age difference, because you talked about how some of the teams that was more prepared in the tournament this year was slightly older or ended up staying at their institution for a longer period of time. So give us some more of your thoughts, because I mentioned it earlier in the show talking about 17, 18, 19-year-old trying to get into an institution, whereas you have somebody coming out of the portal that's 24, 25, and possibly 26. You know, is that coach just solely thinking about him building a program? Are we even consider building programs anymore? Or are you just picking up the first thing that comes along? Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll have to use just one coaching example of a coach at a major university that moved from a major university to a mid-major college. And most of what I've seen happen with his team is he was known for having one and done freshmen. They were coming during their freshman year. They win big tournaments. They win championships. And then because they won at that high level, they were able to move on to the next level in their career and go into a professional league playing basketball. So what I saw this year is that those 19-year-olds, 18, 19-year-olds, in some cases, do not have the mental toughness that maybe a 23 or 24-year-old would have at the end of the day to win a close game, to make the right decisions, to run the right play at the end of the game, to really listen to the coach and have respect for the coach. I know he's going to draw the right play, and I'm going to respect that. And if it doesn't work out or something breaks down, then I have enough background and knowledge of the game to know how to still carry the team to the win, because that's important too. So I think a lot of it had to do with maturity of players and having leadership on the team. And I think in 1 year, sometimes you don't necessarily have the amount of time that you need to build the right leadership. Like if you have players transferring out every year, your entire team is a freshman team. So where you get your leadership from is going to be different. Where most of the time in the past, you had a junior or senior player on the team that could lead a young team, that could make the right decisions at key times, that could actually add. There's a lot of knowledge that comes with staying in college multiple years and learning the game. And you can't take that knowledge away. So I feel that that's what some of the teams were lacking this year. They had freshman teams, and they couldn't compete with the older teams. And you know, I read an article, one coach said he's going to start recruiting older players because he feels like if players are going to stay 1 year, you know, he used to recruit a freshman because he knows they're going to stay 3 or 4 years. You have the same players like 3 or 4 years. But if players are only going to stay 1 year, you should just recruit the older players that got more experience, and you have less development work to do because they already know the game, right? They've already played a couple of years. There's probably less to learn. So I don't know. It's unfortunate because I feel like when my child came in as an 18-year-old coming into a college, wanted to come in as a freshman, I wanted them to be surrounded by some older players so they could have a mentor. And where are they going to get that from if everybody tears it out every year?
Well, you know, that's why I said when you cut that number down, when you cut that number down, you can only stay in the portal for 2 years, one. Two, when you go to your next institution, you are committed to that institution for 2 years. I'll just simply call it a two-by-two, you know, two-by-two. If we had the two-by-two system in place, that would cut down on folks jumping ship and trying to do all that. You know, one thing, and I want to highlight John Calipari, who was one of these coaches that was out there, who decided to come up with this one-and-done situation. He was one of the first coaches that introduced the one-and-done theory to college basketball, because he was lucky enough to find some players that were talented enough to have an opportunity to fall into the draft after 1 year. Now, were there other players out there that was just as equally gifted? I believe so. But just simply due to, and, you know, I think about all the players that he has rolled through, especially that I think his whole starting five at one point in time, or all the way up to the sixth man, made the draft, was drafted. And I think that was, did he have one class like that, or did he have multiple classes like that, if you can recall, they call it? Because I know the one class was
John. He had one that I remember.
Okay. Yeah, that I think that was a class with John Wall, correct? John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Patrick Patterson, I want to say Bledsoe, and who was the other player for that class? I forgot who the other player was for that class. It'll come to me here in a minute. I think it was another guard. But anyway, yeah, so you had that, you know, one class that popped out, and all of them were, that was in the, you know, lottery picks, or was up there in that class. But that's not an everyday situation. And there were probably other college athletes that were equally as gifted as those top five, you know. But that's just one of those things that happen. But yeah, we've been talking about here this trip, and I think there's some things that need to be reevaluated, if not from the NCAA perspective, from a legislative perspective. You know, at some point in time, society has to slow down what's going on in college sports. Because if they don't, we're going to end up with a bad situation. We'll have a group of young athletes that's out there that they've attended college for 4 years, or wasn't educated, and fall into a bad situation. That's not good. That's not good at all, folks. What are we really and truly doing to our young folks? We're setting them up for failure. And that failure is not a promising thing for anyone. Folks, this has been M.A. Scott, the host of the Practical Defense Network. As always, this is one thing that we like to say to you. On that note, we're going to step out. We're going to step out very gracefully. and just simply say, hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. Catch us again next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. On that note, I'm going to let that little piece that you heard kick up, take us out. It's called Feel the Groove.